share the greatness of God's Word with you today. I'm here in my little tiny condo in the ski resort of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And for those of you that have never been here, I live literally at the foot of this huge mountain. About three blocks away is a large ski resort, and people come here from all over the world to ski on our brisk snow-capped mountains, and it really is quite something. It's about 16 degrees outside. We've had snow. It's crisp and a beautiful day here, and it's great to hear about your wonderful weather there, and gosh, I wish I could be there in Dallas, but this is the next best thing to be on the dial-in. So today, again, it's my privilege to share a bit of God's Word with you and a little bit of my life. So let's start with Luke chapter 12, and we'll go to verse 42. So Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And we're going to talk today a little bit about being faithful and that wise and faithful steward, for certainly we are stewards of God's Word. And in Luke 12:42 it says, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Well, now this is interesting because back in that biblical time, when you were appointed to be a steward of a household, it was a great responsibility. You literally had the keys to the house, you took care of every bit of that household, and you were pretty much the number one person that made sure that the Lord's belongings and his family and his day-to-day life was in order. Well, it's pretty neat because God has given us his wonderful word, and we are stewards of that word, and we truly are faithful. And it's really neat to see that all of us continue to stand on God's Word. And it's wonderful to hear on the phone lines today all of the wonderful believers that are here and all over the country. So let's turn to Proverbs 25, verse 25, and let's hear about how wonderful it is to hear that good news. Proverbs 25, verse 25. And we read, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Well, truly, that is wonderful, isn't it? Good news from a far country. Cold waters to a thirsty soul. You know, and I've lived here in Dallas, or I've lived here about 3 years moving from Dallas, but it's always refreshing to hear how the believers are doing, isn't it? What they're doing, how they're doing, you know, what's going on in their lives. And I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. You know, he took many journeys in his day to faraway locations from home. He met believers along the way. He taught the word. He established fellowships. He ministered to the churches of his day. He was quite the guy when it came to hearing about news from far, far away. And truly his heart and life, as any leadership, anybody in a leadership position has, or a believer, you know, they yearn for each other. They want to know how they're doing. They pray for each other, and it's a wonderful thing. And let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. So we start in verse 7 of Romans 1. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And again, this is Paul talking, and he says, "First, I thank my God upon Jesus Christ for you all." See, he must have been going through Texas because he says, "you all." Okay, that's just a joke. Make sure you're listening. "That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, this is pretty interesting because their believing was spoken of throughout the whole world. So it must have been really something. "For," verse 9, "for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So truly he did want to venture and take a journey to see them. For verse 11, for I long to see you. He had great earnest and great desire to see those believers and those Christians, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, it's pretty neat because this wonderful word of God that we're reading from was written some 2,000 years ago, but it still applies today, doesn't it? Truly, we have a great yearning for each other. We want to see each other. We pray for each other, and we're comforted by each other, and that is just really cool. You know, back in those days, they didn't have technology like we have today, obviously. You know, a quick phone call, or you get on Skype to see somebody, or, you know, you get on the web and you listen to a teaching. But, you know, there's just no replacement for the great comfort of hearing about how the believers are doing, praying for them, and certainly, you know, encouraging each other. And truly, it's so wonderful to have that great household. And Paul really loved his brethren, and you know, nothing stopped him from teaching the word. Nothing stopped him at all. You know, and he had quite a life, didn't he? You know, we know he was shipwrecked, you know, he was swimming in the deep, you know, he had great adventures, many perils, you know, it was, you know, that would make a movie, the Apostle Paul's life, you know. He just kept on going no matter what as a leader. And you know, we have our things we go through in life, our ups and downs, our seasons, but you know, we continue to remain faithful in God's word because God has given us that wonderful word. And what a great privilege that is. Well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 1. So Colossians 2:1. Again, here we have Paul, and he's talking again, and he says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That's pretty interesting. So there was churches where maybe the word was growing, and they'd never met Paul. But he still had a yearning for them. He still wanted to see them. He knew they were there. So verse 2, that their hearts may be comforted, comforted again, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It's pretty neat because these folks were continuing to be faithful, and he had to communicate them in some way. And, you know, Paul had kind of a rough time in that he was in jail part of the time that he was a leader. And, you know, how does he communicate with all these wonderful believers all over? They didn't have, you know, the web. They didn't have phones. Well, what they did was they wrote letters. And these were scrolls. And these scrolls had to be taken from one town to another, from wherever Paul was. And he would address certain groups of believers in certain towns and that type of thing. And, of course, that's how we now have our epistles that are in the Bible. And it's pretty interesting when you think about what those believers had to do because they had to travel by foot or by animal, that type of thing, to all these faraway places. And Paul had to trust them with the greatness of the word, and they took their scrolls out to these other locations, and then they were read. It's pretty remarkable how that happened. So let's see here. We were in Colossians 4:7, and then Colossians 4:8. Colossians 4:7. All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is my beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Again, more comfort there. When Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. That's pretty interesting. I wonder if he was put in prison along with Paul, or when he was in prison with Paul, he became a believer. So it's really interesting. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Isn't that cool? These folks were wonderful believers, and they were a comfort unto him. And then, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. Do we have a zeal for each other? We certainly do. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Certainly whole families were in the word, his household. And when this epistle is read among you, remember I was talking about how it was carried from town to town or city to city, and then they read it. So this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill. Continue to be that faithful steward and minister. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. That is so cool. And you know what? It still applies today, doesn't it? We hear the greatness of the word that's ministered by our wonderful gift ministries. We read it out on the website. We read it in the RDOs. Truly, it's great to know that that word is still available to us. Well, you know what? We are not of this world. Remember that song, "This World is Not My Home"? Well, you know what? Let's read about that as far as who we actually are. Once again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And we read, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, now if this was a movie, we'd hear the dark music, doo 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 doo. But, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in" what? "Mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," or made us alive together with Christ. "By grace you are saved, and hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Today in Manifestations we heard, "Nothing but good will be given unto you." That is so great. You know, "exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Truly a walk in our lives. You know, it's just like the other day I had a passport, you know, a United States passport, and I had to renew it. And it told that I was a citizen of the United States of America, and that is a great thing. And that passport is my guarantee wherever I would go in the world that truly I was a citizen of the United States. But you know, it says here that we are not of this world. So our spiritual passport says that we are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if I was going to have a spiritual passport, it would say that I am not, Jaylee Nutzinger is not of this world. But truly, my home is in the heavenlies, which is pretty cool. You know, the world sets up its standards. Everywhere we look, every time we turn on the TV, every time we read the paper, it has its standards. But you know, those standards are not ours. Why? Because we are not of this world. Because I have a spiritual passport that says that my citizenship is in the heavenlies. So it's always great to remember that. Now, knowing that I am this not of the world citizen, how should I conduct my life? Good to know. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk. Now how am I supposed to conduct my life? How am I supposed to walk? Well, I'm supposed to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I was called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then let's go over to verse 29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, this is our walk. This is our citizenship. This is how we conduct ourselves. And the other day, I was in a meeting, and at the end of that meeting at work, the girl, that lady that works with me, came up and she said, I just want to let you know that somebody just hit your car in the parking lot. And I said, they did. So, you know, at that point, I continued my meeting, and then I let the person go, and then I said, well, okay, what's this all about? And went out to the parking lot, and truly somebody just swerved in too wide and hit the side of my car and scraped it all up and bent it all up. And I had a decision at that time, you know, to get very upset. Sure, you know, but what's my walk? Do I rail and get mad and, you know, that type of thing? Well, no. You know, I went over to the lady that had done it, and you know what? She felt very bad. Let me tell you, she really felt bad. And she was so wonderful. We called the insurance companies together. We got everything taken care of. I went out and took pictures. And it was quite simple. I took my car to the garage. They got it fixed. I had a wonderful loan car that I drove around for a week. And got my car back in great shape. It was better than it was before. And when I got my car back, I emailed her back and I said, well, thanks for letting me know about this. Thanks for us taking care of this, and I just wanted to let you know that my car is back and it's good as ever, and, you know, the situation is finalized. And do you know what she emailed me back? I was so surprised, but I guess I shouldn't have been. She said, you know, I'm so glad that everything is taken care of. Thank you very much for handling this so cheerfully. Cheerfully. And I thought, she thought I handled this cheerfully. Well, let me tell you, that really meant a lot to me, because truly I had every right to give her a hard time, you know, and that type of thing. But believe me, she felt bad enough already. And what was the profit of me really making her feel worse? So I encouraged her. I knew it was going to be taken care of. And quite frankly, it's, you know what, paint and metal. You know what? And we're better friends because of it. And, you know, that's our walk. You know, that's truly a great example of encouraging people in any situation and taking care of things. And, you know, it's really neat. That's the walk. And truly, hopefully, I'm an example of that. And I know you are, too. So what do we have to look forward to as believers, as those stewards of the greatness of God's word that are faithful? Well, of course, you know, I was going to bring it up. The greatness of the hope. wow, it's pretty exciting. So, you know, I think if someone were to ask me what my most valuable possessions were these days, I'd say, well, it's got to be eternal life and eternal rewards and great crowns. And right now, the power of the name of Jesus Christ is so valuable to me. And that's what the basis upon which I, you know, live my life. And, you know, what really keeps me going and what's a great, keeps us all going is that great hope of Jesus Christ's return. You know, and it's vitally important for every Christian to know about that. So let's go ahead and look into this just a bit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. And we read, "Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands," verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." What? "Having no hope." No hope and without God in the world. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ." You know, it's so interesting in our world today because there is a hopelessness. People have no hope. They give up. And you know, that's not our life. That's not our lifestyle. We have a wonderful hope that keeps us going. And let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and of course we're going to go to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others." What? We just read about this in Ephesians, "which have no hope." We have a hope, and that is so exciting. So, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," do we? Do I hear an amen? Yeah! "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep or who are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Woohoo! Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, wherefore comfort one another with these words." Wow, what a great comfort. What a great hope. You know, God's preparing a place for us right now. This is a reality. You know, we believe it. Your average Joe on the street, your average Miss on the street, yeah, they might not believe it. But you know what? We do, because we're a citizen. We have that passport because we're not of this world. Isn't that exciting? And you know, it says no man knows that day when Jesus Christ comes back. No man. So does that mean all of our, maybe our movie producers know when that is? No. They might think they do. How about someone that is ordained? Would they say they know? Is it really true? No, nobody knows. The greatness is we know it's coming, and we're supposed to comfort one another with those words. There's no fear regarding the return of Jesus Christ. We know it's out there. It's so wonderful, and what a great hope we have. God has a plan all figured out, and we're just part of that exciting plan. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Of course, we always have to go to this, to these verses when it comes to the hope, don't we? 1 Corinthians 15:51. This is kind of a place in your Bible, you know, where you turn over the page in the corner, and it's a really good one to go back and read. So 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, And of course, remember, that's that, like that atom of time in that moment, in the twinkling or that instant of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. You know, it's kind of interesting because if you've ever gone to like horse race or whatever, what do they have, little trumpets at the beginning? Or, you know, when the king arrives, the trumpets sound. Trumpets are going to sound, and this is going to be really big. And it's just going to be in a moment of time, and it's all going to happen. And in verse 53, it says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." And what a great victory cry this is. Death is swallowed up in victory. Yes! Can you hear the crowd? Yay! Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. Wow. This is the big ending, the big dramatic music. You know, we are going to be able to stand at that bema and receive those rewards and be rewarded for our wonderful stands and what we're doing, and everything else will drop away. And, you know, we're accountable. And those other folks that, you know, will not be at that bema are accountable for their stands. And it's pretty interesting because in my job as a human resources manager for Teton County, I have about 350 employees. And any one of those employees can walk into my office, and I'm accountable for my job to them. I'm accountable to our elected officials here, which we have a group. And I'm accountable to 20,000 people in Teton County, any which of who could walk into my office and ask me what I'm doing and what my job is, because that's public service. That's government service. And, you know, today I'm accountable in that way. But when I walk up to that bema someday and I receive those wonderful, wonderful rewards, it's going to be a great day. It's a lot bigger than anything else that I can do in my walk. And I'm so thankful that I know the greatness of God's word, have been taught that word, and can be that faithful steward of that word. And I know that you join me in that, and it's just such a privilege, and it's so wonderful. And the last verse today that we'll look at is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sistren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that is so true. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I'm so thankful for all of the believers there that are faithful year in and year out. There's so many things to do to continue to move this ministry, everything from meetings to, you know, making the coffee, to doing the AV, to getting the teachings out, to writing the teachings, to teaching, to ministering to the believers. You know, everything that we do is so important, and I'm so thankful for all of you that are listening for your faithfulness to do that. And it does take a sacrifice. It does take time. But you know what? It's a labor of love. And it's so exciting to be able to do that. And, you know, continue to do that is all I can say. I exhort you to stay faithful. Continue on. And this is a season of Thanksgiving. Words can't express the thankfulness and love I have for you all. So let's continue to do that. I exhort you to do that this wonderful week of Thanksgiving. If we're thankful for anything, it's the greatness of the word, greatness of the household, of our wonderful believers. And, you know, there's nothing better than that. So thank you again for allowing me to share a little bit about my heart and my life to you. And again, Jerry, we pray for you and trust that you're on the mend. And just want to say once again, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody, from Little Jackson Hole, Wyoming here. Hope to see you soon down the road, and I love you. So let's pass it back on to Joe and Chris, and have a great day.